Did you know that Jesus was Jewish?
You might be asking, what does that mean for your Christian faith? Watch today and discover how understanding the Jewish roots of your faith and your connection to Israel and the Jewish people can transform your life and the way you read the Bible. Coming up on Jewish Voice.
Shalom and welcome to Jewish Voice. I'm so glad that you could join us today. I'm Jonathan Burness, and I'm joined once again by my co-host, Ezra Benjamin. Well, as a Christian, you probably read your Bible every day or a couple times a week, often I hope. But have you considered that there's a right way and a wrong way to read your Bible? Actually, Ezra, I'm going to pose that question to you.
Sure.
Is there a right way to read the Bible?
Right. Well, our audience may be saying, wait a minute, well, that's a big statement to make. There's a right way and a wrong way. We're going to unpack what that means. But our topic today, Jonathan, actually comes from a question we received from one of our viewers who asked, what's the difference between the Bible we know, the modern Bible, and a Torah scroll? Or you could say an ancient or even a modern, but mainly an ancient copy of the Jewish Bible.
Well, that's an easy answer, the weight.
Ever try to pick up a Torah scroll?
It's so heavy.
Yeah, go to a synagogue sometime. I don't know that you'd be allowed to, but you can see people straining under the weight of the what's called the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, or what's also known as the Torah. And I want to expand that question a little bit because it gets us right to the meat of what we're going to talk about. And the question really is, what I think you're asking, if you're the one who asked the question, is what's the difference between the way ancient Jewish communities in Old Testament times would have engaged with the Word of God and the way that we do today? And just want to talk about a couple things that should be obvious, but maybe we don't think about them that much because we're used to everybody, every believer, having at least one, probably multiple, if you check your bookshelves, copies of the Word of God, right? Different translations, different versions, illustrations in there, maybe a concordance in the back. And it's very easy for us to go right to the chapter and verse we want to find the verse we've been thinking of.
A big difference between Bible in the form of a book and a Torah scroll.
Sure.
Which, by the way, is just to reiterate what Ezra's saying, only contains the first five books of Moses.
That's right.
In handwritten Hebrew. And I've many times in Israel watched the scribes writing from memory.
Correct.
The Hebrew with perfect letters. There's no vowels. It's the same thing that we read basically in English or any other language. But it's in Hebrew, handwritten in Hebrew.
That's right.
And very heavy.
That's right.
Written on parchment. And there's very few of them. They're very, very expensive. And they're very valuable. And the whole process of taking care of it, and then ultimately, when it's not kosher, burying it goes through a burial process.
When something goes wrong that makes it ceremonially unclean, it has to actually be put away.
The point is that it's the Torah and the scriptures in general are revered by practicing Jewish people or Orthodox Jews, and each Torah scroll is of great value. It's holy.
That's
set apart.
That's right.
Item.
You may already be asking, saying, I appreciate the historical context, Jonathan and Ezra, but what does this have to do with me in the 2020s and how I engage with the Bible in front of me? But what we have to understand, maybe you've never thought about it, is in the time when the Bible was written, in Old Testament times, even during the time when Jesus was ministering on earth, Jonathan, most people couldn't read. First of all, most people were illiterate. And even if you could, people didn't have a copy of the Torah. This is holy book, handwritten on sheepskin, right? They didn't have a copy in their homes. They had to go to synagogue to hear it read. And I'm thinking of the psalmist who says, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. It doesn't say I have a copy of the Torah on my shelf at home so that I might not sin against you. What's going on? The word of God was engaged by someone saying it and a company of people hearing it. And because you couldn't take the scroll with you, you had to hide it in your heart. That was the way that the Word of God was living and active in the hearer. I'm thinking of James, even after the death and the resurrection of Jesus, right? James says, be a doer of the Word, not a hearer only. It doesn't say, be a doer, not a reader only, because most people didn't have a copy of the Scriptures. So there's this idea there of hearing the Word internalizing it. We've talked so many times on this program, Jonathan, about the idea of Haggah, meditating on the Word of God, which means to repeat it to the point where it goes from what you heard, what you have in your mind, to what actually exists in your heart.
Yeah. By the way, you see this clearly. It makes sense when you understand this and you read that Jesus is actually called up to give a reading. And he gives actually the wrong reading in terms of the cycle, because there's a cycle for the reading of both the Torah, the first five books of Moses, and for the Haftorah, the prophets.
And he doesn't read what everyone's expecting
him to read. He doesn't read what's allotted that week, but instead reads from Isaiah, the Lord has anointed me. And it's out of order, but he's using that to expound on his ministry.
That's right.
And again, the tradition is that people are hearing, internalizing, and then they're actually repeating back. Meditation in Hebrew, just to add to this, is the word Haggah, which means to confess.
That's right.
Which means to mutter, which means to proclaim.
That's right.
The Haggadah, which is the Passover retelling, is read so that we remember the story of the Exodus. So
that's it.
You're to hear, internalize, and then recite back.
That's
meditate.
Right. Yes.
You confess.
And you repeat it, because we're prone to forget. And so to answer that question, how is engaging with the Bible today different than how it was in ancient times? Or the larger question from that we started with of what's the right versus the wrong way to read the Bible? I want to challenge us. We have even on our phones, right? You can find a verse and you can read it for 5 seconds and you can move on with your day. But maybe there's more to it than that. Maybe the whole idea is that we're supposed to meditate on it, hear it or read it, and let it internalize in our heart so that we can live, so that we can walk worthy of the calling we've received.
Yeah, and speak it back. He who calls out upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Jonathan, elaborate on that a little bit for us, because many may be listening and saying, wait a minute, I thought salvation was an issue of belief alone, but there's a confession component.
That's right. So I'm referencing Romans 10,
okay,
which talks about, as I said, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But if you look back through that chapter, it's actually reiterating something that goes back to Torah times, which is we believe with our heart, we hear the word, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
By hearing the word, we believe with our heart, and then we confess with our mouth unto. So in the case of confessing the Lord or crying out to the Lord, it's talking about salvation, but in fact, it refers to every promise of God. It refers to all of Torah, all of the prophets. We hear the proclamation.
Yeah.
As you said, the word is read. We hear it. We then hear it again. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We receive it into our heart, and then we speak it forth. And things are changed. Our lives are actually changed. And that process of hearing, believing, and confessing closes the loop on a commandment to both in the Old and New Testament that we're just not hearers of the word, but we're doers only.
Exactly.
How do we become doers of the word? And this, of course, from in the Torah, be a doer of my commandments. If
That's
you
right.
follow, obey my commandments and do them, because we hear them.
That's right.
We internalize them with our heart. We speak forth. We listen again. We believe. And by faith, we do.
Right. We hear the word with our ears. We store it up in our heart to not sin against the Lord. We respond with our mouths and we live it out with our hands and feet.
That's right.
That's the whole picture. And answering that question again, what's the right and the wrong way to engage with the Word of God, with the Bible? It's not just, yep, found the verse I want, thank you. It's all of these things. It's
right.
hearing, internalizing,
right.
saying it, doing it.
And the benefit is that God responds.
That's right.
God
That's right.
responds. Amen. And because we're building faith
right.
and we're confessing the Word by faith, and that process is not new to the New Testament,
sure.
if I can say it that way.
Exactly.
It's a biblical principle that goes back to ancient times, to Old Testament times.
Right, exactly. I'm thinking of Abraham, right? Abraham heard God's voice, right? This was the Lord himself speaking, right? And the Word, you know, Jesus is the living Word, the Word made flesh. And here the Father's speaking to Abraham, right? And it says Abraham believed God's words, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. So there was a hearing and a responding.
Yeah, and we can't miss that. This is really important. We need to take a short break. Whether it's a scroll or a book, the Bible contains the Word of God that can transform lives,
Amen.
Your life, as well as those in remote parts of the world. We want to invite you to partner with Jewish Voice today. We want to send Bibles out to Jewish communities in Africa and for your own personal study of Scripture as well. It's about the Bible today, and it's about a Bible that will change your life because it's the Word of God. Listen for details right now.
What a privilege it is to hear, receive, believe, and share God's Word. It's our desire to get the Jewish Voice Study Bible into the home and heart of everyone watching today. The unique features in this 1,800-page resource include book introductions, footnotes, day-in-the-life articles, full-color graphics, and insight about feasts, holidays, and the lost tribes of Israel. Plus, a concordance, weekly reading schedules, and exclusive content from Jonathan Burness. For your gift of $100 or more, we'll send you this extraordinary resource, and you'll experience God's love and purpose for your life moving from your head to your heart. For new Shalom partners who commit to $50 or more per month, we'll emboss your name in gold letters right on the cover. Equally important, our work around the world, particularly in Africa, has revealed a hunger for the Bible. When we send out your new Jewish Voice Study Bible, we will also equip Jewish communities and their neighbors with Bibles and other resource materials. Lives will be changed. As promised in Isaiah 55:11, my word, I send it out, and it always produces fruit. Call, scan the QR code, give securely online, or mail your most generous gift to the address on the screen. Celebrate God's faithfulness by exploring and sharing the Bible. Thank you so much.
Welcome back. Today we're looking at how to read the Bible correctly. There really is a right way and a wrong way. Before we go into that any further, I want to say thank you for your support of Jewish Voice. We simply could not do what we do without you. We couldn't do it. We couldn't go to the remotest parts of the world to reach lost Jewish communities. So thank you for making that possible. It means so much on behalf of all of us at Jewish Voice. And if you're a donor, thank you for being part of our mishpocha, our family. Well,
that's
Ezra,
right.
Let's get back into this. The Bible is we forget how imperative it is to our relationship with the Lord. And again, think of it, throughout the history, not just of the Jewish people, but of the New Covenant faith, most never had the benefit of being able to read the Bible for themselves. And we have that benefit
that's
now.
That's right. We have it right at our fingertips. And so we've already talked at length about what we do with the Word of God as a whole, but we're going to get into now in terms of handling the Bible, handling the Word of God rightly versus maybe not so rightly, what do we do with the words themselves? And I think, Jonathan, you know, we've heard this from so many in our audience that people feel frustrated because sometimes we pick a verse or even a portion of a verse, even a phrase that we want that sort of meets our need in the moment, and then we take that for ourselves as a blessing or as an encouragement, as an exhortation, but we're not actually accessing the full meaning of that scripture because we're missing the context. Someone said, text without context is pretext, and something we say so often here at Jewish Voice is that before you understand the application, you have to understand the interpretation.
Yeah, this is so important, and I think this is part of the reason that replacement theology, the idea that the Jewish people were replaced by the church, has been so successful, and we continue to hear this teaching because there's a random spiritualization of the word Israel and the word Zion. So
right.
It's not the right way to read the scriptures. Whenever you see Israel,
Right.
You say that's the church.
Right.
And it's completely out of context because it's talking about Israel taking the promised land or
sure.
Israel fighting the Battle of Jericho. That is not the context to say, oh, that's the church.
Exactly.
The church did not fight the Battle
exactly.
of Jericho.
And you know, let's jump right into it to give our viewers some examples.
Give
I'm thinking
some.
Of Ezekiel 37. And if mm-hmm. you don't know that chapter address, I almost guarantee you know the words because we sing about it, we declare it, right? Yeah. It's the story of the dry bones. Right? And there's worship songs galore, right? Dry bones arise, right? And God's calling, he's raising up an army from the bones. Amen. But we go right to the application, meaning what does it mean for me or my circumstances? And we miss the interpretation. This is another example where we've sort of removed Israel from the equation. But if we look at this whole passage, it's very clear to Ezekiel, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Right? It's verse 11 of chapter 37. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel or the people of Israel, right? They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We're cut off. And then he commands Ezekiel, prophesy to the bones that they might live again. So amen to God resurrecting our dead or broken circumstances. Amen to God raising up armies from the ashes or from the dry bones. But the context here is actually God's enduring promise to take a people who felt we're dry and dead and hopeless and to resurrect them to life again.
Yeah.
These bones are the whole house of Israel.
And it's great to then make application.
Totally.
That the same God who did that for Israel will do that for me.
Exactly.
You know, another example that comes to my mind immediately, and that's a very good one, by the way, is the popular song, Blow the Trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy mountain, and we dance around proclaiming the victory of Blow the Trumpet in Zion.
Right.
Now, I love that song also, but if you go back to the context, it's proclaiming God's judgment on the earth.
Right.
So rather than shout out in victory, we should actually be warning ourselves, get ready for a shaking.
Exactly.
Where only that which cannot be removed will remain.
Exactly. You know, I mean, this is good. We're giving you, I hope, a lot of examples, and we'll go to the New Testament in just a minute. But one more from the Old Testament. Jonathan, Jeremiah 29:11,
mm-hmm.
right? You know this verse.
Very well.
For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a future and a hope. An acharit, it says in Hebrew.
Right.
It means a certain determined end. And we say, amen, God knows the plans he has for me. But the context of this passage is actually during one of the darkest times in the history of the Jewish people. Because God says through Jeremiah right before this, I'm going to send you into exile and it's going to be a hard 70 years and make no mistake, you deserve it. But also know this, I still know the plans I have for you. So I actually hope the application there is encouraging for you today. Maybe you feel like you're in an exile season. Where is God in my circumstances, right? Has God forgotten me? Is he punishing me? Even where the circumstances are difficult, just like he said to Israel in darkest of times, he knows the plans he has for you.
Yeah, one of my favorite verses, as you know.
Yeah.
But let us not forget that it's a promise to Israel in exile saying, I will bring you back.
That's
and I will fulfill my promises to you. And that's why there's a state of Israel today. That's why Jerusalem has been restored as the capital, because Jeremiah 11 says, I'm not finished with you.
Right.
So when you rejoice that God is watching over you, when God has a plan for you, a hope for you, an acharit of an expected end for you, don't forget that the original context is the promise to an exiled Israel, an exiled Judah.
Right.
I will bring you back. You'll rebuild the temple and the Messiah himself will come to that temple.
That's right. And one more point real quickly. You know, our audience may be watching saying, okay, if you're telling me the original interpretation is all about Israel and the Jewish people, what does that mean for me? But understand that your faith that God can intervene in your circumstances, that he can resurrect dead things, that he can bring you back from difficult seasons, is based on his ability to do that for an entire people. If he can do it for the Jewish people, he can and
Amen.
Wants to do it for you.
Amen. Ezra, I'm so glad we're covering this because we have been called to rightly divide the word of truth. And I think we have lost that to a large degree. Give us another example.
Sure. Well, I think sometimes where we're called to rightly divide, we actually just divide. And what do I mean by that is we can become masters at taking snippets of verses and assigning them the meaning that that snippet, that we want it to have. And let me give you two examples. One is in Philippians 4, and we know this verse. We have it on rubber bands around our arm. I've seen this on gym t-shirts everywhere, and it says, right, I can do all things through Christ, through the Messiah who strengthens me. And we, without the context, say, anything I set my mind to, God is with me. And by application, we ask Him to bless our efforts, and often He does, and that's great. But the context that Paul is saying that is, I've learned how to be in plenty or to be in really difficult circumstances while proclaiming the gospel. He's saying, I've learned how to suffer in my ministry, and the way that I do it is because I can endure, or I can do all things through Jesus who gives me strength.
Yeah.
It's how to be
point.
A believer in suffering, not how to maybe get physically stronger.
Yeah. Okay.
A final verse here, near and dear to our hearts at Jewish Voice, because it's been so misused, is Galatians 3, verse 28. And I'm gonna tell you the snippet that's been so misused in replacement theology circles and in erasing why it matters to have Jewish believers in Jesus. And it's this, right? There's neither Jew nor Gentile. Have you heard that? I was told that when I did some seminary classes. The professor said, Ezra, your identity as a Jewish believer in Jesus doesn't matter. Well, why, professor? Well, there's neither Jew nor Gentile. Well, that's not the verse. The verse is, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, neither male nor female, for you're all one in Jesus the Messiah. Now, last I checked, there's still men and women, and one can have babies and the other can't, right? There's distinct roles. What Paul's saying here is, in terms of righteousness before God, Jew and Gentile, there's no difference. We've all fallen short, and we're all justified by faith alone in Jesus. But we misuse the snippet to say, God doesn't care about Jewish identity as believers.
Yeah.
We hear that so
often. Making
a
very specific point.
Right.
That you can't expand on into something that it's not saying.
Exactly. Exactly. Rightly dividing the word of truth.
Yeah.
That's what
very
it's
good.
All about. That's what you're challenged to do.
Very good. That's so good, Ezra. I'd love to go on. We don't have time. We want you to hear about an opportunity to spread the word of God to Jewish communities in Africa. And for your own personal study Bible, we want to invite you to partner with us. Ezra and I will be right back in a moment to pray for you and for your family, so don't go away.
What a privilege it is to hear, receive, believe, and share God's Word. It's our desire to get the Jewish Voice Study Bible into the home and heart of everyone watching today. The unique features in this 1,800-page resource include book introductions, footnotes, day-in-the-life articles, full-color graphics, and insight about feasts, holidays, and the lost tribes of Israel. Plus, a concordance, weekly reading schedules, and exclusive content from Jonathan Burness. For your gift of $100 or more, we'll send you this extraordinary resource, and you'll experience God's love and purpose for your life moving from your head to your heart. For new Shalom partners who commit to $50 or more per month, we'll emboss your name in gold letters right on the cover. Equally important, our work around the world, particularly in Africa, has revealed a hunger for the Bible. When we send out your new Jewish Voice Study Bible, we will also equip Jewish communities and their neighbors with Bibles and other resource materials. Lives will be changed. As promised in Isaiah 55:11, my word, I send it out, and it always produces fruit. Call, scan the QR code, give securely online, or mail your most generous gift to the address on the screen. Celebrate God's faithfulness by exploring and sharing the Bible. Thank you so much.
Well, we try not to miss a program without praying for your needs, and I know there's a lot of them, because we get them through our website and by email and sometimes by snail mail. Ezra, I'm going to ask you to pray briefly.
Sure, I will.
And then I'll finish. We only have about a minute and a half left.
Sure, I
so
will. Let's
join
pray.
With us, will you? Will you just stretch your faith and with us and join together?
Yeah.
Let's believe God.
Well, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is living and active, that it's sharper than any two-edged sword to divide soul and spirit, joint and marrow, bone. And we thank you, Lord, that your word is not only living and active, it's alive and it's on the move. So, Lord, I pray that as we, men and women after your own heart, engage with you in your word, as we hear it, as we allow it to sink down into our hearts, as we meditate on it, as we speak it out, and Lord, maybe most importantly, as we do it, Lord, that it would bear fruit in our lives, that it would bear fruit in our children and grandchildren's lives, that it would bear fruit in our workplaces, bear fruit in our spouses and our communities, in all those who know us. Lord, that we would be cities on a hill which cannot be hidden. Lord, we thank you for your word, that it would come alive in us in new ways in this season.
Thank you, Lord.
And it's in Jesus' name that we pray.
And Lord, thank you that your promises are yea and amen.
Yeah.
And so we join our faith with those that are watching, and we say, it is done.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 If you'd like more information about our ministry, you can log on to our website. It's jewishvoice.tv, and you'll find many helpful resources there. You can send your prayer request to us right on the website, and there's so much more on that site that we think will be a blessing to you. I want you to know that we care about you. More importantly, God cares about you, and we do pray for your needs. We also pray for Israel. That is something that we're committed to as a ministry, and we're committed to asking you to join with us in praying for the peace of Jerusalem. Psalm 122:6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love thee. So that prayer will mean so much. So thank you for praying. Thank you to Ezra for joining me today. And until next time, this is Jonathan Bernis saying shalom and God bless you. I was recently made aware of an alarming statistic. Listen to this now. 6 out of 10 Americans today don't currently have a will or trust, and another 30 to 35% are either poorly written or outdated. If you're in this situation and you're a Jewish Voice giver, I have some good news for you. Because of your financial support to our ministry, we're able to provide you with independent, professional advice to help you develop a will or trust at no cost to you. If you already have a will or trust, you can have it reviewed so that you can have peace of mind that you are being a good steward in providing for your family and children. Go to jvmi.org/trust to learn more.